Father God, I praise you tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it'll fall on good soil, Lord. I thank you for everyone who's here tonight. And Father, as we gain insight to the blood covenant, Father, we're going to be able to accomplish and finish the assignment that you've given us, Lord. And we just praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says, but now he has obtained the more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. Last week, we started studying the blood covenant. We looked at this verse of scripture. We looked at several aspects of the blood covenant. And I'm not going to review. You know, I usually get accused of reviewing and reviewing and reviewing. But it's online. Okay, if you go to pastoranthony.org, all the sermons are up there, videos of the sermons. All right? If you go to our website, it's under sermons. Click on there, you'll get the audio version of the message. So we don't waste time and just keep going doing that. If you go to abundantgracechurch.com, audio sermons are there. And then if you want to go to pastoranthony.org, just click on there. Site will come up and all the sermons, all the videos are there of this. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, but anyway, when we looked at blood covenant, we saw that it meant to cut where the blood flows. And so tonight we want to just continue along those lines. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 26. I believe it's Genesis chapter 1. But in order to do a thorough study of the blood covenant, we got to go back to the book of beginnings, Genesis, to see why we needed a blood covenant in the first place. And as I was studying this, I was thinking, I could preach a year on just Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, okay? But we won't get, you know, that'll be another time. But here's what we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss the creation of man. Now, you might say, well, that's pretty elementary, but we're going to look at it anyway because it'll help you, all right? Because we have to understand why we needed the blood covenant. We're going to look at his relationship with God when God actually created Adam. God had plans and purposes for Adam's life that and they were so clearly set before him. And then we're going to look how he lost his state of rulership and authority. And from that point on, mankind became a slave to the forces of evil. All right? And they might sound like fundamental truths from the Word of God, but they're so important in our life. I remember when we first, between our first and second year in Bible school, we came home, and my wife did a Bible study and was in the afternoon at our house, and she actually was teaching from Genesis chapter 1. And I forget what you were, I think you were taking on the blood covenant, if I'm not, E.W. Kenyon. But anyway, she started explaining why man had to be saved. And this girl started crying. Now, and we knew her, and she was saved for a while. But she could never, the denomination she came out of, you know, I'm not going to say the denomination, but most of us in this room came out of it, okay? You got a hint? All right, so anyway, she kept saying when they used to talk about salvation, she says, well, you just got to be saved. Well, why? Because the Bible says so. And she couldn't explain why she had to be saved. You know, man sinned. Well, that's pretty generic. You know, why? You know, what was the whole idea behind him sinning? So that's why it's important we understand these truths. So we could explain it to somebody that we're going to run across, because it just becomes generic. Well, you need to be saved. Well, so big deal. You know, that's the way people look at it. So they're fundamental, but to understand them is to understand the covenant. So let's just read here in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. We're going to read right down to verse 31. I don't know if I'll get through all these verses tonight, but we're going to look at them. Okay, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created in him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and so it was so. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. I like that. Indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So let's take a look at that. First of all, when you look at this, God had a plan for Adam, all right? He was made in the likeness of God. We are made in the likeness of God. It's not that God looks like us. We look like him. And I didn't say that. The Bible says. The next thing we see there, that we were created to have dominion over all the earth. Dominion means absolute authority over the earth, supreme authority. That was man's, why we were created in the first place. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says that we should rule and reign on this earth through grace. Coming back into the new covenant, we have that reigning authority back again. It was given to us, all right? And the first thing God said here was give man dominion. So man, in a sense, owned the earth. He was God's man on the earth. He was the crown of creation when God created man. Now, I just want to say this. There's teachings, and you know, maybe one time when we start doing small groups, I might teach on, you know, the history of Lucifer and this time between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, and teach on all those things. Because the earth, you know, we kind of say, well, the earth is only 5,000 years old. No, the earth is 30 billion years old, all right? And it's interesting when you study through the Word of God and you bring a little bit of scientific knowledge into this, you actually see how old the earth is and that there was some form of being here before God created man. And after, and I'm not going to get into this tonight. It sounds like I'm going away, isn't it? But anyway, whoa, who moved that step? Okay. And a lot of people and a lot of Bible scholars say that that being that was here was none other than Lucifer. This is where he ruled and reigned from. There's a verse we're going to get to maybe later on tonight in Isaiah and in Ezekiel that they call it the law of double meaning, you know. And so there was something definitely here that got messed up. And it's brought out in Isaiah and Ezekiel. So I'm not going to teach on that, but if I do a small group, I might. Okay? All right. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, dominion. We have dominion. God created his man, and he gave him dominion. So man owned the earth. The second thing God did was bless him. Being blessed by God means conferring prosperity and happiness on it. God wants, you know, 3 John says that he wishes that you be above all things. Go ahead. No, that's not it. Go ahead. Go look at it. I know. That you be in health. Prosper and be in health as your soul prosper. The word prosper there means, wow, means to confer prosperity and happiness upon. Have a really good journey in life. I mean, how many people could really say they've had a really good journey in life? You got storms you're going to go through in life, but You know, how many people could really sit down at the end of the day or at the end of their life and say, you know, I had a good run? I was in a doctor's office, and we were talking about my father-in-law, and she looked at me, the doctor, and she says, he had a good run. I said, yeah, he did. He drove up until he was 94. Amen. So then God gave Adam instructions. You know, the Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. There's instructions in the Bible that God has given to us that we need to adhere to in order to walk in the blessings that God has for us. All right. So he gave instructions on how to live his life. He's told them specifically, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. I don't think God means for people to be lazy. Okay? God wanted his man, Adam, to be abundantly fruitful in this earth. And God is the God of multiplication. Everybody say, multiply. All right. Because be obedient, work, and God will multiply it. If you're going to sit around and do nothing, you're going to have nothing. All right? Then he says, subdue it. And we're still in our verses here. And it means to bring into subjection. He was supposed to subdue the earth. He was supposed to bring it under control. All right? And when you have dominion over something, you usually have to bring it under control. How many have little kids? You need to subdue them. You need to bring them under control. And I'll tell you why. It's important. It all flows in with this. All right? You know, but we have an enemy out there who doesn't want you to do anything for God, and he will do his best not to get you to do it. He will work overtime. So first thing we need to do is bring ourselves under control. Paul says it. I bring this body in subjection. Same word, in control. He subdues it. Well, what did? His spirit, not his mind, not his will, not his emotions. His spirit brought his body into subjection. Okay? And God through verse 29, God made provisions. You know, he didn't create them and just wind them up and watch them, you know, walk into walls like the toys the kids get. They wind them up and now they stick a battery in it and press a button and they walk and they bang into walls and they turn around and go the other way. That is not what God did with Adam. God gave him specific instructions on what he had to do. Because there was a real good reason why God gave him those instructions. Because there was someone out there who was totally against God. Amen. All right. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 2 here for a minute, all right? Let's go. It's a lot of verses, but it's good. And the Lord God, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. And there was a river that went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. And the name of the first is Pison, and it was the one that skirts the whole land of Halava. And really, Halava now is really Iraq today, in modern days, all right? Where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. Bilium and onyx stones are there. The name of the river, the second river, is Gihon. This is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. And really, Hiddekel today is the Tigris River in Iraq. Okay? Now, you got to understand the geographical outlay back then was different over thousands and thousands of years changed. But when they take maps and they do the scientific thing, you actually see Iraq was the Garden of Eden was probably somewhere in Iraq or Turkey in that area. And it wasn't just a little garden like as big as this room. It was probably this whole size of Iraq. It wasn't just a little place. And we kind of think like we got this little warped mind. Well, it was just a little square. Get in the square, don't get out. But that's not true. It was a large place, all right? And the name of, I said that. And this is the one which goes towards east to Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates River, which we know is still there, right? Then the Lord took man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Wow. So, God gave him a special place to live. He gave him a garden, all right? And I like to call that, and if you're taking notes, take really good notes, because this is good stuff, man. We call it the sphere of influence. Did you change these from what used to be here? Because, okay. That was kind of like strange, that's all. Anyway, it's called the sphere of influence. And we have been put in a special place. We have a sphere of influence. Every single person in this room, you have a sphere of influence. It's your surroundings. It's your environment, your immediate environment around you, a place that we control and we can either be blessed or not blessed, but we have control over it because it's our sphere of influence. And God made a provision for us in our garden. He put Adam in this garden. He gave him everything, all right? And he makes provision. God makes provision in our sphere of influence. In this sphere of influence, we have family, all right? We have to teach our family the principles of God. In this sphere of influence, we have responsibilities. We have to work. I know a lot of people don't like that, but we really have to work. Many times when Christians get in trouble, it's because they neglect their responsibilities in their sphere of influence that God put them in, that they're in. All right? And we get ourselves out of that sphere of influence and things start happening to us. Sunday, I'm doing a message on priorities, okay? But I'm just going to give you, there's five priorities, and we're going to go into these in detail. The first one, your first priority is God. Now, I'm going to go into big detail. These are biblical priorities, not worldly priorities, because worldly priorities deal vastly different than what the Word of God says. These, if you come Sunday, you will see from this that these are directly out of the Word of God. Amen. All right, it's not something man made up, it's something God made up. So God is the first one. Our second priority is our spouse, if we have a spouse. Okay, if we don't have a spouse, then it's not a priority. All right? And the third priority is family. Our fourth priority is church. Now, people always look at me at that one, and they look at it a little weird when I say church because they think, well, what am I supposed to do, just always be in church? No, you should put church first place. That's actually talking about being a member of a body of Christ, a member in a local body. That's what it's talking about. And then your last priority on this list is your job. I say career. And what happens, then everything else is under that. All your leisure stuff, everything else you want to do is under your career. But the most important one is God. You get God in the wrong spot, my friend, you have left your sphere of influence. If you put your career above God, You've left your sphere of influence. If you put your career above your spouse, if you have one, you have left your sphere of influence. I want to tell you something. If you put your children above your spouse and under God, you've left your sphere of influence. Amen. Yes. That's all I'll say on that right now. Okay? But so God was put in the garden to rule and reign. Adam, who did I say? God, well, he made it. All right. So again, Eden was a region, a geographical location, and the garden was in that region. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 says, and out of the ground, and this is the King James Version because these are really old notes, and out of the ground, God made the Lord grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we have two things going on. We have the tree of life. All right, just that gave him food, you know, and they had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God gave him food. Adam didn't want for anything, you know. He didn't want. They actually said that all the gold and everything, and the onyx and all those jewels and everything were on top of the ground. They weren't buried. They weren't hidden. He didn't have to mine for them. They were there. It was over all these centuries and the changes and all the things that buried them. That's what they say. God made all the provisions right in his sphere of influence. And if we could get that in our hearts, that God has given us all our provisions and they're right in our sphere of influence, yet we go looking out somewhere else instead of staying in our sphere of influence. The tree of life was there and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'll wait till I get to that. God put rules and regulations in there. He imposed them. But why would God put rules and regulations? To help him reach his potential. You know, people get, you know, we live in a world that don't want to know any rules. Everybody just wants to run wild. But the rules are there for a specific reason. And that's to help us reach our potential. All right? And the same thing with Adam. Adam had a mental capacity that was beyond, no one had that mental capacity. But he had to learn the things of God. You know, even though he was in tune with God, he still had to learn the things of God. All right? God gave him dominion over the whole earth. Yet he put him in a garden. Specifically said he had dominion over the entire earth, everything on the earth. But yet God stuck him in a garden. All right? Well, what was he in the garden for? To grow, to learn. Why? So he learned how to use his dominion. You know, that's one of the dangers that was with the faith message back in the beginning. People start learning about faith and confessing and possessing and everything, and they just left their sphere of influence and messed everything up. They never stayed any place to grow and learn how to use their faith properly so they can reach their full potential. Amen. And so many Christians do that. They get saved. You know, I always get tickled because an athlete or some celebrity will get saved before you know it. They're preaching in churches all over the world. They need to be stuck in a room and learn in a new believers class is what they need to be. Because they need to learn. Thank you for that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So, now God gave him specific duties. He gave him obligations. He was told to keep and dress it. The word keep means to guard. To guard it. It's the Hebrew word shamar, which means a hedge. He was to build a hedge around it. Protection. How many of you have a fence around your house? How many of you have a hedge around your house? Why did they do them? It was to keep animals out. It was a protection. All right? And so, the question is, to guard from whom or what? All right? He gave him something to do to keep the enemy from coming into his garden. He says, Adam, guard it, watch it, keep it. Adam didn't understand it. Today we have to explain everything. Well, why do I have to do that? God didn't have to explain to him anything. God said, keep it. Guard it. He didn't understand who the devil was. Because Adam only knew one thing, good. He only knew good. He knew divine good. He had no knowledge. You know, there's no God evil. Do you know that? There's no evil in God, so there can't be a God evil. But he says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, now you have to think about that for a little bit. He only knew God good. There was no God evil. So what's this good and evil tree that he shouldn't eat of? The knowledge of human good and human evil. He was never exposed to that. And he said, Adam, guard your garden. Because there's an enemy out there that's going to tempt you to eat of that tree. And once you eat of that tree, my friend, it is curtains for you. There is no going back. And that's why the blood covenant comes in. As we go down the road here, we'll see some probably next week or the week after when we look at when he did sin. But, you know, basically introduction. So, but he didn't. God was warning him, though, that there was one out there. And God gave him complete authority over him. That's the beauty part of the whole thing. God had an enemy, and God's enemy is our enemy. And that's Lucifer. Let's look at 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Actually, the Hebrew says, the day you eat of it, in dying you will die. Okay? So, you can eat of every tree. I'm sure there weren't like five trees. There were probably millions of trees. And you could have every one of those trees, and they're yours, my friend. But now comes the exception in the provision. Adam didn't even know what die meant. But God was warning him the same way God always warns us. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. Christians need to get this in their heart. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He already says there's death and cursing out there, but there's also life and blessing. And he gives you the answer to the question, choose life. Why? That both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Think about that. So there's an exception to this rule. Every tree, Adam, but don't eat of that one of the knowledge of good and evil. And you say, wow, that was pretty good. Well, he warned Adam that there was an enemy. He told them to put a hedge of protection around it, and he gave him dominion over it. You know, how many of you like if you got a garden and you have a little fence around it and animals come in a bit, well, you just sit there and go, oh, well, you chew them out. You chase them. Get out of here. What are you doing in my garden? All right? Whether he knew it or not who the enemy was, he had a responsibility to guard the garden. Why? Adam's sphere of influence. You all have a sphere of influence. Okay? We might not always understand why God says things, but they're always for our benefit. And let me give you an example. Maybe you have a 12-year-old son that wants a Harley Davidson. Or you got a 6-year-old grandkid that wants a cell phone. Is it that you don't want him to have the cell phone? Or does he have some growing to do? Do you want him not to have a Harley Davidson in his life? Maybe when he's older, but not at 12. Why? Because he has to grow and he has to learn. Well, that's what God is doing here. Adam had to grow and Adam had to learn some things. So he puts these things in there for our own benefits. You know, we have responsibilities, but when we hear a tap on the window and we ignore it, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. All right? And if we could avoid a whole lot of confrontations in our life if we didn't wait till the last minute to do something. Amen. Okay. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Let's take a look at our buddy Lucifer. Well, not my buddy, but whose ever buddy he is, we can take a look at him. Okay, let's see. Isaiah 14. And we're just going to read down to verse 14. We're going to read from verse 12 to 14. Verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. That's very interesting. You need to understand that. Just underline it, okay, in your Bible. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the congregation. On the furthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Now, I ask this question because usually people will get a little contentious over, you know, where was Satan when this was said? Couldn't have been in heaven, could he? He had to be on whatever was here before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You understand? All right. But my point being is, how Lucifer was the son of the morning, you know? And he goes, how art thou fallen? You know, how did Lucifer fall? Because he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne against the throne of God. And he goes on and on and on. How did he fall? Words. Everybody say words. Words will get you in trouble. Words will bring you down. He was self-centered. You know, I tell people all the time, look out. Keep your ear open for the I, because I'll tell you what. When it's all about me and it's not about what God's doing, there's a problem. So worse. He had a high position in heaven. He wasn't no slouch. He had a high position in the kingdom of God. But he wanted to be exalted above God. He's called the accuser of the brethren. You want to know why? Because his job is to make you feel and think you're a loser. So he will give you guilt complex. He'll do all types of things in your life. He'll use brothers and sisters in the Lord to get to you to make you feel bad because he's the accuser of the brethren. Now turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's just look a little more. Ezekiel 28. Verse 12. Now, this is what we call the law of double reference, okay? It's talking about an earthly kingdom, but spiritually it's talking about another kingdom, okay? But it says, here what it, I love this. It says, oh, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyrene and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Now, the king, there was really a king of Tyre, okay? And God had some things to say about him, but really, he's talking about Satan also. Prophetically, it's Satan going back in time, spiritually, all right? But it goes, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. I want to tell you something. If you ever looked at the high priest's breastplate, it was all those stones. Satan was like God's high priest. Because the high priest, all of a sudden, he would wear all those stones. And who was in charge? The high priest. All right, that's later on. Okay. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared before the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the days you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, a covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze upon you. Wow. Son of man. He was perfect. Satan, Lucifer, let's call him Lucifer. He was perfect. He was in the garden. He had timbrels. He had, as it says in here, I got the King James in here, but I'm reading from this one. Where was it? Here it was. You were needing, no, that wasn't it. I just had it here. I established you. Well, you sure? You know, I'm talking about the timbrels and the pipes. Ah, there we are. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. King James Version says tabrets and pipes. He was a musical instrument. Now, let me explain something to you. Lucifer's job was to offer praise and worship to God. Okay? Praise and worship to God. One of the reasons music today is so demonic, because Satan's trying to get back at God. We stole this job. And so when people come to church and they just sit there like this and look like Ma and Pa Kettle, and they just look around at everybody else and they're like, Satan loves that. That's why the music today, a lot of it is so demonic. Even the rap music today, killing this and cursing and everything else. That's Lucifer. He might not be sitting there writing the words, but he is influencing them. Because that was his job. And people don't understand. That's why praise and worship is so important. Then verse 14 talks about him being the anointed cherub. Fiery stones mean he had access to God. He had access to the Lord, to God. He says he was perfect. He was perfect. From the day he was created, he was perfect. And it says until iniquity was found in him. What's iniquity? Sin. I'm giving you the reason why he fell. This is what brought him down. He was the first sinner. He's the author of sin, and God pronounced judgment on him. You know, upon him with the same words which he rebelled against God. If you read down further in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find out, he says, I think it's Isaiah. He says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 blah. God turns around and says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. To you, okay? He was beautiful, but he got puffed up. Started looking at himself. I'm pretty good. Probably looked at himself in the TV monitor and said, hey, I'm good. I can really preach up a storm. You know, people get old. You know, people get, I'm meddling now a little bit, but I'll do it anyway. People get old, just the way it is. And I see some TV preachers. They look the same way they look today as they did 40 years ago. Bro, let's just admit you're getting old. Because they get the facelifts and all. Yeah. You say, no, they don't. Oh, yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Why? Because I don't know why some of them do. But I'm sure some of them are just impressed with themselves. Listen. I am meddling big time. But I love doing that, though. It's just fun. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm meddling. If you don't like it, get a job. Anyway. But we have to be careful even in our own lives when we start thinking we're better and, you know, we've arrived. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. I personally know ministers who got themselves in trouble because they started going to the gym. And they started working out. They started getting six-pack, and they started getting ripped. And before you knew it, they were in the divorce court. So I'm serious. I know two or three that I had to minister to their families because they got puffed up. They forgot where they came from. Listen, there's nothing wrong with going to the gym. There's nothing wrong with lifting weights. I'm not saying don't get me. But I'm saying let's go back to priorities. If God gets off the top of your priority list and you put something in there, you're in trouble. So he had a choice to sin or not. We all do. Just because we have the ability to sin doesn't mean we have to sin. Doesn't make you a sinner because you have the ability to sin. The thing that makes us special is though, even though we have the ability to sin, we choose not to sin. So I'm going to end this tonight because we're going to start next time, and we're going to look at some more of Adam and Eve in the garden, what they did when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And next week, we'll get into the point where the first blood covenant was cut. The first one. Because people ask this question all the time. Well, what happened to Adam and Eve? They're in heaven. So how could you say that? They're in heaven. Cain isn't, to my knowledge, but they are in heaven because God made provision for them, and God will always make provision for you. So the devil is challenging God today in this earth. In no way is Satan equal with God. Some people think he is, you know, but God is just, right, and fair. But he's been challenged, all right? The devil is out always to prove God wrong. But the truth has to be affirmed. Always. That's why the devil attacks us. When you say how you're standing on the word of God for this, he's going to attack you. Because he just wants to see how much you really believe what you're saying. Because the truth has to be affirmed, all right? God could have, you know, do you know that God could have come and snuffed the devil right out after? But he didn't. God told Adam to guard the garden. His fear is an influence because God knew that the devil was going to try to cause chaos. Adam had complete ownership, dominion over the earth, and sold sold it right out to the devil and gave it to him. And that's been the problem ever since. We live in a world today, you guys can come up here. We live in a world today that good is trying to fight evil constantly. Human good, human evil. It's a battle. It's been going on since Genesis chapter 2. Chapter 3, I'm sorry. When they ate of the knowledge of good and evil. And so this battle's been going on. You really didn't like that one, did you? I'll take it and I'll get it fixed. That's okay. Anyway, real quick, man is trying to outdo evil by doing good. And let me tell you, the equation doesn't work. The scales will never work. Human good will never overcome human evil. Impossibility. They've been trying it for 5,000 years. It hasn't happened yet. Evil just gets worse, and we just throw more human good at it, more human good at it, more human good at it, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. See, the only thing that's going to change a person is when you change their heart. Amen. I had lunch with a guy the other day. He says, people have a big hole right here in the middle of them, and when you don't fill it with Jesus, then you'll never, ever be fulfilled in your life. Can you say amen? And that's why I want you to learn about the blood covenant. So you can explain. You might not have to explain all this, but you'll understand why. Why Jesus had to come. Why he had to die on the cross. Why? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.